as we all do, I have occasion, unfortunately, from time to time to attend a levaya, to go visit in a base of it. Often, I leave with a sense of distress and depression. Now, maybe you'll suggest that the source of that distress and depression is the stark encounter with one's mortality. And maybe that is a partial cause. And it would be an entirely appropriate topic to discuss and to focus on before Slichas. The Western attempt, the Western culture of denial of death is certainly one that we need to be aware of. And it's a topic worthy of discussion. But there's definitely another cause for that sense of distress and depression, and one that I'd like to unburden myself and share with you. But it needs a context, needs a broader context. So let's leave that question aside for the moment. And zero in on the calendar. In 9 days, Be'ezus Hashem will be Rosh Hashanah. And yet, that reality notwithstanding, I think many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, would have to admit that either we feel no hisorus, no awakening, no arousal, was certainly not an adequate degree of that awakening and arousal. No emes hadin, no sense of fear and awe at the impending judgment. How is that? Why is that? So let's look at two mashalim and try to understand. Imagine a child with his or her mother in a department store. They pass by the toy section, and the child's attention becomes riveted on the whole array of toys, and isn't really cognizant of straying from his or her mother, so enraptured and so mesmerized by all the toys. Child's happy, blissfully happy. If the child looks up and sees that his or her mother is not around, all of a sudden, the same surroundings, but now all of a sudden, the child becomes terrified. Imagine a plane flying in the Middle East. Due to some navigation error, the plane veers off course, and the pilot becomes aware that they're flying over Iranian airspace. The passengers are obviously unaware of what's going on in the cockpit. They're not privy to this information. So, in the passenger section of the plane, everything is normal. Same level of comfort. The same banter and conversation continues. in the cockpit, this tremendous sense of tension and tremendous sense of fear whether or not they're going to be able to get back on track before their error is discovered on the ground below. What's the point of the Mishalim? Tshuva, as the semantics of the word indicate, means to return, to find one's way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we don't know that we're lost, how can we expect there to be any hisoros with tshuva? As long as the child is just looking at all the toys and hasn't noticed that he, she, has wandered away from the mother, the child's happy. It's only at that moment of recognition, where's my mother? That's when the fear grips the child. As long as the passengers are unaware of what's going on in the cockpit, they're happy. If word will reach them and they'll become aware that they're lost, so then all of a sudden, then there's a reaction. If we don't know that we're lost, there can't be any awakening, there can't be any arousal to find our way back. The second answer, or the second part of the answer, is that even what we do know, and even when we know, but we don't manage to feel what we know. The first phrase of the Pasuk of the Yadata Hayom, we relate to, but the V'hashevosa alevavecha, it doesn't elicit that reaction. Why not? Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Yuma, V'nitmeisem bon, Avera mitamtemes libo shel adam. Averos desensitize us. Averos make us numb. I'd like to take a few minutes tonight together to explore the first answer, or the first part of the answer. Why we don't realize that we're lost, and how that prevents the hisoros for tshuva. In order for a person to know that he or she is lost, a person has to know, who am I? Where do I belong? Where am I supposed to be? I don't know who I am. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I can't have any sense of being lost. So who am I? So if you ask me that question, I'll tell you. I'll tell you, well, by profession I'm a teacher, and I'll tell you where I live, and I live in North Riverdale, and if you're interested in details about my family, and I think that's how most of us would respond. Well, how would the Torah have us respond to this question? When asked, who am I? If we were to give an answer that would be faithful to, that would reflect the sources in the Torah, what would the answer to that question be? And here, I'd just like to emphasize very, very clearly that individuality, notwithstanding, what we're about to discuss is the answer for every one of us. The answer for every Jew is what we're going to discuss. Individuality notwithstanding, the individuality is within what we're talking about. But everything we're saying is true of every single one of us, of every single Jew. There is a pasuk in Sefer Iyov. The pasuk in Sefer Iyov says, Or uboso talvisheni, uva'atzomus vigidim tesochecheni. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have clothed me with skin and flesh, and you've covered me up, you've with bones and sinews. I'm reading now from the Chafetz Chaim's introduction to his work Shmiras HaLashon, but he here is going in the footsteps of Reb Chaim Vital. The pasuk refers to our body, the skin, the flesh, the bones, the sinews, and refers to it as a lavush, as a clothing, uschach, and as a covering. So apparently that's not the real us. We're clothed within that. Clearly, the real us is the neshama, not distinguishing for our purposes between nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So who am I? The essence of a person is the soul. That's the essence of who every one of us is. David HaMelech says in Sefer Tehillim, "V'tachasrehu me'at me'elukim, v'chavod v'hodo ta'atrehu." Man is just a notch lower than the angels, and you crown him with chavod v'hodo. What does chavod mean? So the Baal HaMor, one of the major commentaries on the Talmud, in his introduction to his work, talks about how the word chavod, which we generally translate as glory, in other contexts respect, oftentimes refers to the neshama, refers to the soul. In the introduction to Psuchei Yedizimra, Leman yezamer chachavod v'lo yidom, that the soul will sing to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and will not be silenced. So chavod refers to a person's soul. Malbim explains, because that's his glory. The fact that a person is endowed, is infused with something so holy. So who is man? Chavod v'hodo ta'atrehu. Someone who's crowned with a soul. Says the Malbim, explicating the pasuk, but the Rishonim understand the pasuk like this as well. Ikar atzmus ha'odom va'amitaso hu nafsho ha'sichlis. The real essence, the true person, is the soul. The soul that's capable thought, of understanding, of relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's who the real person is. Chavod v'hodo ta'atrehu. Let's continue again our search for ourselves, for self-identity. Ramban has a most remarkable comment. The end of Parsha Achrimos, after the Torah lists all the forbidden incestuous relationships, and the Torah prescribes the punishment of kores, rachmana litzlan, of excision, Ramban has a remarkable comment. He says you should know and understand that this dire punishment of kores, which is assigned to the person's soul, is a source of bitachon gadol b'kiyum hanefashos achrei hamisa. It's a source of tremendous belief and trust in the immortality of the soul. The Ramban goes on to say, it's clear from the psukim that the natural state of affairs is that the soul lives eternally. The natural state of affairs is that the soul, again, the essence of the person, that which is clothed in flesh and skin and covered with bones and sinews. There's an aberration. Chet, sin is an aberration, and that aberration can cause, Rachmana Litzlan, God forbid, the soul to be cut off. But implicit in that, says the Ramban, is that the natural state of affairs is that the soul is immortal. If we don't ruin it, if we don't corrupt it, if we don't distort its essence, so the natural state of affairs is that the soul is something immortal. And it's only in these, again, terrible, exceptional circumstances of egregious sinning, that then avona bo, so then the soul is cut off. But the natural state of affairs is that the neshama, the soul, is something immortal. Why is it an immortal? Ki nishmas ha'odom ner Hashem asher nupcha ba'apeinu mipi elyon v'nishmas shakai k'mo shenema v'yipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. The soul of a person which was infused, as it were, right, kaviyachol, from the mouth of Hashem, hine hi be'inyana v'lo tomus kiyuma ro'oi v'hu omed la'ad. Again, its natural state is to exist eternally. And then the Ramban has a remarkable observation. He says, the Torah never tells you that b'schus ha-mitzvah yiyah kiyuma. The Torah doesn't tell you that you need the merit of the mitzvah to endow the soul with eternity, with immortality. The Torah rather tells us, ki b'onesh ha-averos tikores min ha-kiyum ha-ro'i. The soul is on track for eternal life, to be immortal, unless, God forbid, we cause it to go off track. Another passage to help us in our self-understanding. The Meshech Chochma in Parshas Bo describes how the polytheism, basically, they deified human feelings, emotions, desires. They deified, so they had a god of love and a god of beauty. And their notion of deity was rooted in the physical. And that was the foundation for the idolatrous belief. Says the Meshech Chochma, Lochein Hashem, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be captured in such categories. Avraham Avinu understood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not part of creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't be described. He can't be apprehended, because if he could be described, if he could be apprehended, so then that would be imposing a definition and a limit on him. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcendent. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. All of which defies any type of physical categorization. Who's capable of such belief? Meshech Chochma says, Kosav Rabbeinu Bachya HaZokein, Rabbeinu Bachya L'chovos Alvavo says, that to be able to relate to such a Kodesh Baruch Hu, lo yavdu be'emes rak ha-filosofo ha-novi. You have to be a philosopher or a prophet. And yet, u'b'chol zos, says the Meshech Chochma, kol Yisrael ma'aminim be'emes mitziuso va'achduso inyan muskol kozeh. And yet, every Jew believes with his whole heart and soul in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whom we can't see, whom we can't define in all our categories, because all our categories are categories which are rooted in the physical and the here and now, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eternal and beyond all that, and above all that. And yet, this religion that you would think that could only be entree for a philosopher or a prophet, call Yisrael, every Jew cultivates, because every Jew is capable of that belief. Kol ha'umah nishchetes v'nechnekes b'shvil mitziyuso yizbarach v'achduso. Every Jew is ready to go and die al kiddush Hashem for this belief. It's also part of the answer to each of us, to who am I? And finally, before we try to take stock of the different components to the answer, one last source, the Chaim Volozhiner, comments. The Torah describes in Parshas Bereishis, after HaKadosh Baruch Hu infuses the Nishmas Chayim into Adam, so the Torah says, Vayihi ha'Adam l'nefesh chayim. But after HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused the soul, Adam became... Now, what the Pasuk could have said is, Vayihi ha'Adam, Adam became nefesh chayim, a living being, a living soul. The Pasuk doesn't say that. It doesn't say, Vayihi ha'adam nefesh chaya. There's a lamed. Vayihi ha'adam l'nefesh chaya. What does it mean? Says the nefesh ha'chayim, what the Pasuk means is that Adam HaRishon became the nefesh of the entire Bria, of the entire creation. That he now animates the entire creation. His actions determine the destiny of the entire creation. Vayehi ha'odom, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused that neshama into Adam, it's not only that Adam went from an inanimate clump of clay into a living being, but he became l'nefesh chaya. Not only nefesh chaya, but he became l'nefesh chaya. Now Adam became the nefesh chaya, the soul of the universe, the soul of the entire creation. So now let's perhaps pose the question again, who am I? Well, the real me, and again, this is the answer for every one of us. The real me is my neshama, is my soul. A soul so holy, initially so pure, that its natural state is to endure eternally. A soul endowed with such capacities that it can relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is something which seems to defy logic, that we should be able to, and yet this neshama, the real me, inside the Or U'Bosor and the Atzomos and Gidin, the flesh and skin and bones and sinews, but the real me can relate and does relate to the Ribono Shel Olam. And it's the real me who's the engine of the entire Bria. And as I go, so goes the entire cosmos, the entire creation. That's the answer for each and every one of us. maybe just to repeat it in poetic form, the Otzah HaTfilos quotes a very beautiful, I guess, poem from the Rabbeinu Bachya, the author of the Chovos Halvavos, and it's entitled Tochocha, Rebuke. Nafshi, my soul, Rabbeinu Bachya is talking to himself. Nafshi, my soul, al tihi kisus kiferet ein hovin. Don't be like a horse, a mule, that doesn't understand. Ukeshikor nirdom v'ish nidhon. And like a drunk who's been lulled into sleep from the intoxication. Ki mimekor bina koratzt. You were formed from the source of understanding. Umimayon chochma lukacht. And from a wellspring of wisdom you were taken. Umimokom kodosh huves. And from a holy place you were brought. Umeir giborim. And from a city of giborim, of the mighty hutzes, you were taken out. Me'es Hashem min ha-shamayim. That's the self-realization that each of us should have. Or another poetic reformulation, just a line from the famous song of Ode Lokel. It begins, Simu lev el haneshama, pay attention to the soul, leshem shivova achloma, precious, like jewels, ora ko'or hachama, its light is like the light of the sun. And then the next stanza, mikisei chovod chutzava, it was hewn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne. That's where the neshama that beats within us, that resides within us, it was hewn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, its destiny in this world, logor be'eretz arava, to live in a land of wilderness. Once we're able to answer the question of who we are, what are our abilities? What are our capacities? We can hope to answer the question of what is life all about and what am I supposed to be doing with those abilities? If someone becomes aware of the fact that he's extraordinarily gifted athletically, then he shouldn't be wasting his time. He shouldn't be squandering his talents and pick up ball. He should be playing on the highest level of professional sports. Mimayon chochma, mikisei chovel chutzava. So the real me, again, each and every one of us, hewn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, drawn from a spring of wisdom, a source of understanding, a holy place. So what's life about? What are the nisyonos? What are the potential distractions in life? And what is life actually about? Again, let's return to the words of the Ramban. Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo Kavonas kol ha-mitzvos, the intention of all mitzvos, shenamin be'elokeinu, we should believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'noda elav, we should acknowledge and thank him, Shehu Bra'anu, that he created us. Vihi, says the Ramban, and this awareness, acknowledgement, thanksgiving, kavanas hayetzira, is the intention of creation. She'ein lanu tam ache beyetzira harishona. There is no other reason, no other understanding or perspective that we can have on creation. V'ein kel elyon chafetz batachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's only interest in man, in us, that a person should know and should thank and acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he created him. The Mesilas Yesharim, again, once a person knows, who am I? What am I? Ma shehorunu chazal, what our sages have taught us, sheho'odom lo nivra ella, a person was created for the explicit and exclusive purpose, lehis'aneg al Hashem, to delight in his relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'lehonos miziv shchinoso, and to bask in the splendor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Rabbeinu Yonah, in the beginning of Shari Tshuva, Hine habore nafach ba'api, the Creator infused within me nishmas chayim, a neshama, a soul of life, chochmas lev, wise, tova seichel, discerning, understanding, lahakiro uliyira melefonov, to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to fear him, v'limshol baguf v'chol toldosav, and it should be the neshama which rules over the body with its physical impulses and not vice versa. So now, after this rather lengthy introduction, I'd like to tell you why attending levayas, visiting houses of mourning, sometimes is a source of acute distress and depression for me. One sits and listens to the eulogies, and one hears what the person's favorite food was. His favorite food, I'll give a parallel example to ones I've heard. None of this am I drawing upon my imagination, Rabosai. Coffee cake. Loved coffee cake. Love to eat, Bichlal. We love to eat. That's part of the dmus, part of the portrait that's being painted. Avid sports fan, fill in the blank. So these inconsequential matters loom large enough, they rank sufficiently in people's minds, in our minds, that when we're trying to draw the contours of a person, that's part of what stands out. Whether the error is only in the person delivering the eulogy, the person talking about the nifter, about the deceased. Whether the error was that of the deceased as well, one doesn't know, but it wouldn't alleviate the distress or depression too much knowing that it was only the former. There's all kinds of nisyonos in life, all kinds of mundane obligations, all kinds of involvements in Olam Hazeh, in this world, with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu challenges us, and which can and are opportunities for Avodas Hashem. But at the minute we lose sight of that, and it takes on a life of its own, importance of its own. The very minute anything in Olam Hazeh becomes significant for anything, for any purpose, other than service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, other than building a bridge to Olam Haba, it means that we've lost our self-identity, our self-understanding. You know, if you have to repair a window in your home, so you go to Home Depot. Go to Home Depot, they have everything. And if you're handy, it's a dream come true. Okay, but you have to be focused on, what do I need here? You can't put everything into your wagon. You put everything into your wagon, maybe you'll have room for the window, maybe you won't have room for the window, but you're certainly not going to be focused on it. And if I do that, I'm going to walk out of this store bankrupt. There's a lot in this world, but we're supposed to realize that within this world, the only thing that validates it is if it connects us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Anything in this world, if it's not connecting us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not significant. If my teaching isn't a part of that, it's not significant. Then it's not part of who I am. When Yonah was asked, who are you? So on Yom Kippur, to Mincha, so we'll read, Yonah understood. Yonah Novi understood. Ivi Anochi, the Targum says, Yehudoa Ano, I'm a Jew. Bes Hashem Elokei HaShemayim Ani Yore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God of the heavens, I fear. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's what I am. Everything else, if it's meaningful, if it's to be validated, has to flow from that basic understanding. But let's try to understand a little bit more, Rabbi Osai, what life is about. In Masachas Nido, the Gemara tells us, this is the Braisa, which the Bala Tanya begins his work, which the Kutei Amorim Tanya with, that as a child is about to be born, so an oath is administered. And the oath is, Tehi tzadik v'al tehi rosh, be righteous and don't be wicked. What's the significance of an oath? Why is it administered as an oath as opposed to a charge in some other form or fashion? So the Rav Zichron Levracha says, we find that when Avraham Avinu was sending Eliezer on a mission, he administers an oath. And when Yaakov wanted Yosef to undertake the sacred trust of making sure that he'd be interred in Eretz Yisrael, he administers an oath. Yosef does the same with Bnei Yisrael prior to his passing. An oath is associated with a shlichus. when you're sending a person on a mission, so the charge for that mission is given, is administered in the form of an oath. A person comes into this world on a mission. A person has a shlichus. It's a remarkable, otherwise unthinkable notion that we're emissaries of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that's the way it is. Mashbin also tehi tzadik v'al tehi rosha. The same way Avraham Avinu said to Eliezer, you're going as my emissary on a mission, and I'm administering the oath that you should be faithful to that mission. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going as my emissary into this world of mine, and I'm administering an oath that you carry out that mission faithfully. It's interesting to note, in English, I suspect it must be this way in all languages, when you talk about taking an oath, I take an oath, I swear, I adjure, it's in the active voice. I swear, I take an oath. It's in the active voice. How do you say it in Lashon HaKodesh? How do you say it in Hebrew, I swear? In English, it's in the passive voice. Why is it in the passive voice? Why is it in the passive voice? So apparently, again, the same idea as the Rav's association with Shvuah, between Shvuah, between an oath and a mission. When a person swears, it's not some kind of pledge or commitment which is external to him. No, he is sworn. Literally, the concept of Shvuah for the Torah is not that I swear, but I'm sworn. Meaning it's something which goes to the very core of who I am or what I am. Ani nishba, I'm sworn. There's nothing external about this pledge or commitment. It goes to the very essence and the very core of my being. So what does all this mean, halacha l'maaseh, Rav Asay? Rosh Hashanah isn't the time for theorizing. What does it mean, halacha l'maaseh? First of all, we need to reinforce the Pasuk can say for Iyov, the Pasuk can say for Tehillim, the Ramban, the Nefesh HaChaim, the Meshach Chochma. We need to know who we are. We need to know who we are. Once we know who we are, then the Hisorus for Tshuva comes. The end of the sentence in the Rabbeinu Yonah that we read before, or the end of this section, the Acherei, again, Hine Habore Nofach Ba'api, the Creator infused within me, Nishmas Chayim, Anshama of life, wise and understanding, to recognize him and to fear him, to rule over the body and all its impulses. V'acherei asher ba'avor zos nevresi. And given that I was created for this purpose, v'yehi bi hepach mizeh. But I live my life just the opposite. Lama lechayim. If a person understands, if he realizes that he's the most gifted athlete of his generation, and he's wasting his time, he's squandering his talent playing pickup ball, he could be on a direct path, on a fast track to the Hall of Fame, and he's wasting his time in C ball, in the minor leagues. So you know what. Initially depressing that has to be, but after the depression subsides, how galvanizing that has to be. So I have to go and I have to use it, I have to make the most of it. The Ribono Shel Olam gave me a neshama Mekise chavur chutzava, hewn from his throne, a neshama which allows me, as the Meshech Chochma says, one would have thought that Jewish belief would only be accessible to the greatest of philosophers or prophets, and yet every Jew has that capacity, can cultivate it. So we have to know that. We have to reinforce, who am I? What's essential in life? What's part of my mission? And what threatens to distract me from my mission? What did I come to the store to get? There's different things in the store because different people need to draw on different things to carry out their mission. Maybe I have a broken window, so I'm going to Home Depot to get a window pane. Someone else has to repair his roof. Someone else has to repair the floor. There's all kinds of things there. But a person has to know what his mission is and not to be distracted. A person has to know that Olam Hazeh is here for the purpose, and our sojourn in Olam Hazeh is not a visit to the amusement park. It's to take from Olam Hazeh what can be incorporated into my life of Avodas Hashem, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's to take those materials to build a bridge from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. That has to be our aspiration, that has to be our goal. How do we start to implement that? How do we start to try to achieve that aspiration? So briefly, let's just mention four areas. The daily anchor of a person's life is tefillah, is davening. But what's true for all mitzvos, is true for tefillah in particular, a person doesn't get any more out of the mitzvah than he invests in the mitzvah. If there's a deadline that davening on a non-Kriya Satara day can't take more than half an hour, and that then entails that there are certain parts of davening which even l'chatchila I plan on skipping, so that's what I'm going to get out of tefillah. I'm going to get out of tefillah exactly what I put into tefillah. If it's a rush without having time for the meaning of the words to register, without my being able to process what I'm saying, I get out of tefillah what I put into tefillah. Tefillah has the potential to anchor a person. Person davens Erev Avoka v'Tzaharayim, Chazal say, because those are the three time periods of the day. Every time period of one's life is supposed to be anchored in tefillah. And why is it that we have to constrict tefillah within these boundaries? Because we're busy. Busy with professional obligations, personal obligations. But without the siyata d'shmaya, I can't carry out any professional obligation. I can't carry out any personal obligation. So what? I'm running out of shul to do what? I'm running out of shul to do that which I need shul to empower me to do. A person discovers who I am, so the first thing I have to do in terms of my daily anchor is to invest in tefillah. If tefillah is the daily anchor, Shabbos is the anchor of the week. Shabbos also needs investment. Lasos is a Shabbos. A person has to make Shabbos. If a person really wants to experience Kiddush Shabbos, he has to make Shabbos. He has to invest singing Zmirus on Shabbos. He has to invest by increasing the quotient of Talmud Torah in his life on Shabbos. A person has to invest in Shabbos. A person invests in Shabbos. A person feels, experiences Kedusha Shabbos, his life is changed. But it requires investment, it requires work. And if tefillah is the daily anchor, and Shabbos the weekly anchor, Talmud Torah is the anchor of one's life. However much we learn, the person has to ask himself, is that really all I have time for? Maybe currently I learn a half hour daily. Maybe currently I learn 4 hours daily. But is it true that that's all given the circumstances of life, my temperament, and everything, all other variables that need to be considered? Is that really all I have time for? And finally, once we know who we are, what life is about, Torah, Tefillah, Shabbos are anchors of life. Tikkun HaMidos, correcting, refining one's character, is the essence of life, maybe even the prerequisite. We have to do our best to develop a sense of self-awareness. Perhaps that the worst chait in the Torah is lying to oneself, being dishonest with oneself. If we cultivate that self-awareness, I suspect that we'll discover a pettiness which is unbecoming for who we really are. Again, a soul from a source of wisdom, of holiness, hewn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kiseh HaKavod. I suspect that we may find at times a touch of arrogance, a touch of anger, a touch of taiva, of desire, and we need to identify and target these weaknesses, flaws, failings in our character. And answer and carry out the shlichus and be true to that shvua which was administered before each and every one of us was born. One of the halachas in a shvua is, if a person takes a shvua that he's not going to sleep for 3 days, so that's a shvua shav. It's a shvua, it's an oath taken in vain, because if you can't fulfill it, if it's impossible to be fulfilled, you don't even have to try. You don't have to hold out as long as possible, because the shvua is not binding. There's a different prohibition that a person violates for taking a shvua, an oath in vain. But it's not binding. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu administers a shvua, it means that that shvua isn't chas v'shalom, something which is beyond us. It doesn't mean that it's easy. It doesn't mean that we can coast. But it means that if Mashbin also tehi tzadik v'al tehi rosha, it means that every one of us, who am I? Someone endowed with a holy and pure a noble soul from the highest, highest realms. And I, and again, this is every one of us speaking, and I have the ability, and I have the capacity to live in a way that reflects who the real me is. And I have the ability and I have the capacity to come back after my mission, after the time of my mission is up, and to be able to say, I carried out that mission. I was a tzaddik. I have that ability because the real me is this holy, holy neshama which HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused within me. And if only I won't allow myself to be distracted and to lose sight who I am, if only when I realize and I regain this self-understanding as to who I am, I seize the opportunity and I feel the hisaurus, I feel the awakening, I feel the arousal to do tshuva, so then I can get back on track. On track? The track is eternity. The track is immortality, because that's the stuff of which our neshamas are made. Good year.